Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thank you so much for your support. We have the end of two sagas with detectives named Johnny. First, we'll have the conclusion of the Peerling matter, and then we wrap up our Carter Brown mystery, The Lady Was Lethal. But here now is the Peerling matter, part 5.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Janice Floyd, Mr. Dollar.
Hello.
I understand you don't quite believe that Jeannie Peerling is dead.
That's about right.
I'm really not concerned one way or the other what you believe or disbelieve. I do know that I've been through quite an ordeal lately, and if you have any plans for interfering or bothering me in any way, I'll call the police.
All right.
I hope you understand that.
I do.
Well then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to Eastern Liability and Trust Company, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Peerling matter. I wrote to Morton Scottman at Eastern Liability, and I explained the circumstances under which I had arrived in New Orleans and located Jeannie Peerling. I enclosed her death certificate and the medical statement. I also reported on the conduct of her ex-roommate, Janice Floyd. Then I sat down and called Janice on the phone.
Hello?
This is Johnny Dollar, Miss Floyd.
Yes,
I think it's time we had a talk.
Mr. Dollar, we have nothing to discuss.
I think we have.
What?
How you're being taken.
Taken? By whom?
By a couple of people.
Goodbye,
Look, don't hang up on me, Miss Floyd. I came down here to find Jean Peerling. I'm with an insurance company. It was my job to check on a story her father told. Finding her was part of it. Let me come over and talk to you.
I'll be home tonight.
The apartment was 6 blocks from the hotel. I walked it for a reason. All kinds of people have followed me at one time or another, and I've followed all kinds of people. But the man who followed me off and on in New Orleans, the big blonde man with a .38, knew what he was doing. He was a professional. I made up my mind about that the first time I saw him, and I thought I was ready for him, but I wasn't. He waited until the streetlights got dim and no one was in sight. I vaguely remember that he caught me under the arms and laid me gently down on the street. That was all.
Easy, buddy, easy. You've been making too much whoopee.
Oh.
You folks visiting down here ought to be more careful.
Oh.
Get your suit all dirty. I wouldn't have found you, but my cab conked out right here.
Oh, my head, the side of my head.
Yeah, you must have fallen hard. You had enough for tonight, or you want to keep going?
Oh, I've had plenty.
Yes, sir, I'll call a doctor.
No, no, help me, I'll be all right.
You're up. Easy now, easy.
Thanks. What time is it?
Almost midnight.
2 hours.
Where you want to go?
Rosalind Street.
Get in, get in.
Expense account item 16, $10, to one good Samaritan cab driver who picked me up and dropped me at Janice Floyd's apartment. I was still weaving on my feet when I tapped on the door.
Mr. Dollar, you've been hurt. Come in.
I'm all right. Packing?
Yes, I've decided to leave town. Tonight, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I thought it'd be something like that. Did a big fella, a blonde man, have anything to do with your decision to leave?
That's none of your business.
Let me tell you my business, Miss Floyd. I came down here to see Jean Pearling.
You saw her. She is dead.
Yes, I saw her, dead. Yesterday, I mailed a copy of her death certificate to New York.
Well, then, what else? What other business?
The man who came here yesterday and reported to you, the man who told you I'd left town and you could breathe easier again, the same man who called you later and told you I was still around, still asking questions. He's my business. He followed me on my way here tonight. He slugged me.
I don't believe you're telling me the truth.
What's his name? Any idea why he carries a gun?
Carries a gun? You're making all this up.
Why would I? I've got what I came for, or practically what I came for, legal proof of the whereabouts of one Jean Pearling.
If Al hit you, he was trying to protect me.
Now listen to me. I think I have pretty much of it in hand. Now you tell me if I'm wrong. First off, you're not any Janice Floyd. I'd guess that Janice Floyd was the girl who died of leukemia. I've got her picture in my wallet. It was given to me by David Pearling, who said it was his daughter.
This is all crazy.
Before you go into that, listen. I can have that body exhumed. I don't want to do it, but I will if I have to. Now, do you want me to do that?
All right. I'm Jean Pearling.
And that was the Floyd girl who died?
Yes. She was sick and, well, I knew my father had detectives looking for me. I just never wanted to see him again or go home again. It seemed if poor Janice were dying and she had no one, if she somehow had my name, and, well, I'd never be bothered with my family again.
That was a pretty idea. Was it yours?
Al and I thought of it.
Al?
Al Britt.
The blonde guy. Okay, how'd he work it?
He saw to it that Janice had my name. I know it was against the law, but it... Well, she had no one, and if she was buried with my name, then I'd be free of my family.
Well, that took some managing.
They hate me. They always have. I want my own life.
I don't blame you. You're entitled to it. Are you sure that's what you're getting?
I'm going to marry Al, no matter what. If you go back and tell them, well, that'll be that. If you let me stay dead, I...
Can't let that happen.
Why not? Why not, Mr. Dollar? What harm would it do?
Let your father make a fool out of you?
I don't understand.
You're worth $100,000.
What?
Cold, hard cash. An irrevocable trust was set up on you when you were born. Comes to you when you're 25. That'll be next month.
I don't care about the money.
Now, wait a minute. In the event you should die before your 25th birthday, the money would revert to your nearest of kin.
My father?
Your father.
But I'm dead on paper.
Uh-huh.
Then Al...
Somebody paid him. Probably your father. To make love to you.
Oh, no. No!
Get out of here, Dollar!
Al, wait!
I told you this man meant nothing but trouble.
He knows all about it.
Oh, he can't prove a thing. Get out of here, you!
Take it easy, Britt.
Al!
Yes, honey.
I know about you.
Honey, I don't know what to say.
Go. Just go, please.
He went. He looked at both of us as he went out the door. It was sort of a whip look, the way a puppy stares at you when you've caught him chewing on a slipper. I sat a while with Jean Pearling. She didn't say much. There wasn't much she could say. I told her I didn't think there was any reason for her to go back to New York unless she wanted to. She said she didn't want to go, didn't know what to do at the moment, and, well, we left it at that. I went back to my hotel and tried to get some sleep. About 6 o'clock in the morning, I got up, bathed, shaved, and packed. By 7:30, I had breakfast and was just about to check out.
Hello?
Hello, Britt.
Leaving?
That's right.
I'd like to talk first.
Sure. Okay.
You messed it up fine for her and me. I tried to call her this morning and she hung up on me. Went over there, she wouldn't let me in.
I don't blame her, do you?
I guess I don't. I decided to leave town.
Yeah, maybe that's better.
I don't know whether it is or not. You make it hard for a guy to talk.
All right, now look at it my way. This whole thing's been rotten. I met her father and I know what kind he is. I know what he's done to her, what he'll do to her if she goes back. And then there's you, Britt, the hired man. You went in and made love to her for a salary. I didn't like it having to tell her that, and it must hurt. It must hurt pretty bad. So you see, I'm not too interested in what you might have to say or what you're going to do.
Wait. You're right reading me out this way. I deserve it. The old man found out where she was 4 months ago. I found out for him. I knew the girl she was living with had leukemia. I planned the whole switch. I put it to her the way she explained it, about being dead to keep away from her old man.
Of course, you didn't mention that $100,000 he could get his hands on once she was dead.
No, I didn't. But something funny happened to me, Dollar. I mean, I've done my share of dirty jobs. I've seen a lot of the human race. Taking a salary to make a sucker out of her didn't bother me at all. Not at first. And then I found out when she touched my face, I lived for that touch. And when I held her, she lived for me. I never thought it had happened to me, but it did. If you see her again, Dollar, tell her I was trying to stop it. I mean, all this part. But it was too late. Funny how things turn out, huh?
Yeah. Funny. Expense account item 17, $42.13, hotel and board bill. Item 18, $101 even, airplane ticket back to Hartford. Item 19, $1, cab fare. I stopped by her apartment on my way to the airport.
Oh, I thought you'd left, Mr. Dollar.
Well, came to say goodbye. How's it going today?
All right. I have some brandy.
No, thanks. Jean.
Yes?
You going to New York?
No, I'll stay here a while. I don't want to see my father or mother.
How about Al Britt? He wants to see you.
Let's not talk about him, shall we? Do you think I'm a nice girl? Do you think my $100,000 will attract a lot of nice, eligible young men to me? Do you think
Oh, stop it. You'll burn your brakes.
Johnny.
Oh, no. Here.
I know what he did. I know why he did it. But I love him. He did his job too well.
Yeah. He could tell you what he started out to do and what happened to him with you. He could tell you, if you let him.
He told you?
Yeah.
What kind of a trick is it?
No trick. Couldn't be. The guy's too mixed up. Tell you what, he'll try again. When he calls up next time, talk to him.
Why should I?
Because you may not have a mother and father or anyone else. But you do have him. And you will have him as long as he lives, if you want him. And that's what you've been looking for all your life. Someone to have. I'd take him if I were you. Item 20, $10. Miscellaneous. Total expense account, $714.35. Remarks, none. Report, she took him. They were married in Tampa this morning. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's intriguing story.
Next week, a lonely girl, a fine young man, a gentle father, and one of them is a killer. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in this week's cast were Mary Jane Croft, Forrest Lewis, Jeanette Nolan, Russell Thorson, Michael Ann Barrett, Jack Petruzzi, Barbara Fuller, Herbert Ellis, and Marvin Miller. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino and Carl Fortina. Be sure to join us on Monday night, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is an interesting episode because it was taken actually from one of the very first Jeff Regan episodes, The Prodigal Daughter, which was our 102nd episode here. And the general plot of finding the rich man's daughter and him having an ulterior motive was the same, but the number of changes that were made here is fascinating. Because the overall story, as well as the result of the plot, was a lot rougher in keeping with a lot of the late 1940s hard-boiled type stories. Here we get a very different take on this tale. And I think it shows by this point in Johnny Dollar's series. The show has been going since for about 9 months, and it's really developed kind of its own feel. And so I think that whereas other adaptations were pretty straightforward, they would take a show that had been done before and they would stretch it out, they would add in some elements, but you'd have basically the same script. But at this point, the style of the Bob Bailey, Johnny Dollar has been established, so you're not going to just have a straight adaptation. What we get here is a story with a lot more tenderness in its conclusion. And I think, again, speaks to the type of character that Bob Bailey's Johnny Dollar was. All right, well, it's time now for Carter Brown. And here now is The Lady Was Lethal, Part 4.
Arthur Brown, Mysteries. Adventures in excitement and suspense, based on the best-selling novels by the slick storytelling sensation, Carter Brown. The light had broken. The motive for the murder of my partner, Hank Williams, was clear, contained in the notebook he'd sent his sister and which now lay on the desk between us in my office. I stared at the notebook, and my thoughts turned to the past, to when Hank Williams and Johnny Eaton were a team, a first-rate private detective team. And now there was only Eaton left. Well, they were going to pay for it.
What are you planning to do, Johnny?
Listen, and you'll find out.
Who are you calling?
The Blues Club. This is where the hook gets baited.
Club.
I want to talk to Mr. Layden.
Who's calling?
Tell him Johnny Eaton. He'll talk to me.
Hold on. Layden, you're late calling to tell me you've changed your mind, Seamus. The 24 hours I gave you is over.
That's not what I'm calling for, Layden.
So, what do you want?
Just to tell you that I've definitely got the goods you want, all done up in a neat little book.
Yeah?
$40,000 is the firm price. You've got till tomorrow morning. Otherwise, it goes to Washington, and they can sort it out on a federal level. So make up your mind fast, won't you?
Now listen.
Goodbye, Levin.
Oh, Johnny, was that smart? They'll be after your blood.
And I'm after theirs.
Where do we go from here?
To my apartment. I'll feel safer when we're both there. The only way in is through the front door. The windows look out on a sheer drop of 7 floors, and the fire people are always complaining because we've got no fire escapes. So long as we watch the door, we're set. Once we got to the apartment, Helen headed for the kitchen to rustle up coffee. I set about a little work. I found a piece of oil silk, carefully wrapped the notebook and my gun in it, and tied a piece of wire around it. I went downstairs to my car, took off the petrol filler cap, and carefully slid the package into the petrol tank, attaching the wire to the screw thread on the cap. It was as good a hiding place as I could think of.
Johnny?
Yeah, it's me, honey.
Coffee's ready. Here you are.
Thanks, honey. Say, what have you done to yourself suddenly?
Nothing. Why?
I don't know. You look a different girl somehow.
I'm the same girl, only now you're beginning to notice me. Johnny.
Okay, I'll go.
Who is it?
Me, Jorgensen. What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Come in, Lieutenant.
Thanks.
Who is it, Johnny?
Lieutenant Jorgensen. Pour him a cup of coffee. Let's go in the living room, Lieutenant.
Okay, but I haven't got time for coffee.
You know Helen Williams, Lieutenant.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Hello, Miss Williams.
Sure you want to have coffee?
No, thanks.
You don't look happy, Sleuth. What's your trouble?
You know a dame called Chili? Real name Elsie Kuchenheimer?
I know Chili. I never met Elsie.
You never will. Now. Someone shot her about an hour back. 3 times.
That's tough. But why tell me?
Because I'm going to take you in, Johnny. Captain's orders.
Take me in for what?
To be held as a material witness.
You're kidding, Jorgensen.
No, this is on the level. The captain wants to talk to you.
We'll see about that. I'm calling my lawyer.
No, Johnny.
Why the artillery, Jorgensen?
The captain wants to talk to you without any lawyers. You carrying a gun? If you are, you better let me have it.
I'm not healed.
Okay, then let's go.
Helena won't be long. Remember what I told you about the door.
All right, Johnny.
Come on, let's move.
Things must be getting tough in the police department, Lieutenant.
Why?
Can't afford any squad cars to make a pinch. Just you in an ordinary auto. No other cops.
The captain wants it done the quiet way.
Hey, this isn't the road to the precinct.
The captain's over 23rd.
Oh. What's the idea? What are you stopping for?
The book, Johnny. I want it.
Oh. Because one of the names in it is yours, Jorgensen?
Because one of the names in it is mine. I've been 15 years on the force, Johnny. I'm not letting anybody take that away from me.
Well, what do you know? A crooked cop worrying about his good name.
You got a choice, Johnny. You can give me the book, I'll burn it and forget we ever talked about it. Or you can stay clammed up and I'll turn you over to the others.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, I gave you a chance. Now I'm going to give you something else. No!
Oh.
He's coming too.
I'm glad. I wouldn't want that sock you gave him to kill him, Jorgensen.
I just tapped it.
Shut up, all of you. He's conscious.
Yeah, I'm conscious. And I wish I weren't. Looking at a prized collection of rats is not my idea of entertainment. Waltham, Lathan, Babyface, and Jorgensen, what a quartet.
All right, Eden, you've said your piece. Now there's only one thing for you to add. The whereabouts of the book.
He's definitely got it because he knew my name was in it.
Why, that dumb dame ever had to keep a book.
She had to keep one, or everyone else would have thought she was shortchanging us. Where Chili was dumb was that she could never resist a good-looking guy. So, when Williams came along and made like he knew everything, she started confiding in him. After him, Eaton. That's why she got dangerous.
I hope he plays it tough. I'll enjoy breaking him down.
I think I'll be getting along. When you get that book, burn the thing.
What do you think we're going to do? Frame it?
Okay. I'll beat it then.
So long, Lieutenant. Don't forget to polish the badge.
All right, now, Eaton, you can make things easy for yourself. Tell us where the book is.
Go fry a couple of dozen eggs.
Okay. Babyface, go get the surprise we have for Mr. Eaton.
Sure thing. You'll like this, Seamus.
You got company, see?
Helen!
They came, Johnny. They grabbed me. But don't worry. I can't tell them where the book is because you never told me where you hid it.
But you're going to tell us where, Eaton. Otherwise, we start on Miss Williams.
Oh, don't tell them, Johnny. It doesn't matter about me, but don't tell them.
Don't make the mistake of thinking we're bluffing about working the girl over, Eaton. We're not. You know how much that book means.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give it to you.
Johnny!
Where is it?
You wouldn't find it yourself. I'll have to come with you.
Where to?
My apartment.
It's not in your apartment. We looked.
That's right. But my car is outside the apartment. And that's where it is.
What are you fiddling with a petrol cap for?
Because that's where it is, in the tank.
Well, aren't you the ingenious boy? What are you doing?
I'm trying to get it out. The necks of these tanks are narrow.
Come on, hurry it up.
If you want it, you'll have to let me get it out. Okay. There it is.
Give it to me. Well, that's in the right hands at last. Let's go. Back to my car.
You got it?
Right here.
You gotta burn it now?
Burn it? Don't be a dope, Tiny.
But Jorgensen said...
Jorgensen. That dumb cop. Why, this book is the best insurance we've got. If any of them feel like getting difficult, all we've got to do is remind them of the pages in here.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. Where to now?
I'm going back to the club.
That's what you think. Oh,
he's got the gun!
That's right, Doc Helen!
Okay, sweetheart. You can get up off the car floor now.
I think all my bones. Johnny, you shot both of them and knocked out Walter.
Well, I had the advantage of surprise. Plus the .38 they didn't think I had.
I didn't think you had it either. Where did you get it from?
Out of my petrol tank. I got it out while I was bending over for the book. And it's the finest fuel my tanks ever held. Yeah. Okay, Dick. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've got the book. I'll hold it till you and your boys get here. See you.
Everything's all right, Johnny.
Couldn't be better. That was a pal of mine in the FBI. They'll be here in the morning to handle the whole thing.
I'd have thought you'd take a holiday and not come to the office today.
Oh, I'm expecting a client. I called him. He should be here now. And here he is, right on cue. Let him in, Helen.
All right.
Mr. Eaton asked me to come here this morning.
In here, Mr. Stokes.
Ah, I hope you have good news for me, Mr. Eaton.
Well, I've had some success. I found what Hank Williams had.
That's first-rate work, Mr. Eaton. Oh, what is it?
A little book full of names. People connected with the Blues Club and its activities.
Splendid, splendid. Well, I don't wish to appear rude, but time may be vital. If you let me have that book, I'll start some action.
I won't keep you long, Mr. Stokes. You know, I've been thinking a lot about Hank, the way he was, the way he felt, especially about crime and criminals. He hated them. He was a kind of crusader in his own way, an honest crusader.
Yes, I'm sure he was.
Hank was so honest that he'd never forget to note down a client in my absence. But what do you know, Mr. Stokes? I couldn't find a word about you.
I don't see...
I salute Chili, now chilled for good. She was subtle when she wanted to be. She sold me the idea that Hank had a client, then provided the client. She sent you along, Stokes, all cut and dry. So that if I did find the little book, I'd probably turn it straight over to you and save everyone a lot of bother.
Confound you, Eaton.
I'm not going to stop you going, Stokes, because the FBI boys are on the job, and you won't get far.
Confound you.
Well, that client didn't stay long, did he?
No, honey, and we're not staying any longer either. Shut up the office, we're through. Tomorrow morning, I hand over the book to the FBI, and then I start concentrating on my next assignment.
And what is your next assignment?
You, baby. You.
This is Carter Brown. I can't help it. I always like it when the hero wins, which is why my heroes mostly do. But the hero of my next book, Sinner, You Slay Me, finds a lot of complications to cope with before he does. It's a story of a mouse meeting murder, and the mouse is my hero, Marcus Mouse. He's one character whose answer to the question, are you a man or a mouse, is both. So this is Carter Brown saying so long for now. Be seeing you.
In The Lady Was Lethal, you heard our star James Condon as Johnny Eaton. The Carter Brown Mystery Theater, based on the best-selling novels by Carter Brown, is dramatized and directed by Maurice Travers for Grace Gibson Radio Productions.
Welcome back. When I think about this particular episode, what really comes to mind is that this was probably the fundamentally most sound and well-done conclusion to one of these cases. We look over the past episodes. We usually have cliffhangers that vastly depart from tradition with some mixed results. We've had testimony before crime commissions. We've had our detective hero causing the death of a foreign head of state and being congratulated by the State Department. We've had a hero trapped in a car and forcing it into a wreck. We've had a madcap robbery gone wrong. And then we had a somewhat boring televised solution. This one's just a basic, well-done detective story conclusion. And after what we've heard in the previous six stories, I definitely welcome the somewhat more normal conclusion, though some of the others were fun in their own right. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us back here on Monday for another episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. And then on Friday, we kick off the last of these four-part Carter Brown serials. I hope you'll be with us for that. And then once we're done with Carter Brown, we'll begin a series called Manhunt on Friday. And coming up tomorrow, it's the lineup. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.